Hey, thanks for tuning into Tech Vibe Radio. This is not just Tech Vibe Radio, but this is our special podcast series that we're doing with Buchanan Labs, part of Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. And as I always say, Buchanan, Ingersoll, they've been like lock, step, and barrel with us for 35 years. Super great partners with us. Without them, we can't do this type of content. We cannot have these types of conversations without folks like this kind of making it happen for us. And we've been talking about all types of different tech trends within this Buchanan Lab series. And today we're talking about issues faced by foreign national entrepreneurs. And I keep saying, I stand up and down, we need people from around the world to be here. We need the best and brightest minds. And I got a couple of those minds with me here today. And so first off, we have John Previs here from Buchanan. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so real fast with Buchanan. Like I said, 35 years with the council. You've been around since before the council. You were with Buchanan, Ingersoll.
Back to the CEO Venture Fund back in the early 80s.
Exactly, right. So you've got perspective. So you've seen Pittsburgh's tech sector grow.
Very much so. And it's only because the original founders of the CEO Venture Fund were willing to take the risks and invest in companies to help promote Pittsburgh and put it on the map.
Exactly. And Pittsburgh's tech scene's on the map because we have women like Matina Ibush here hanging out with us, who came from Iran to the United States and now in Pittsburgh because of Carnegie Mellon to start her company.
Yeah.
We're really glad you're here. I'm just saying
that
right
now.
I am glad you're in Pittsburgh. I sleep better than I know you and lots of other folks like you are here building companies.
I appreciate it.
Because that's putting Pittsburgh on the map. So quick, tell us about yourself real quick.
I'm Matine. I come from Iran. I came to U.S. in 2011 to study at Carnegie Mellon University, Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering. I did a master's degree and then PhD there. And after my PhD, I worked for a while in a tech startup here in Pittsburgh in energy market, developing machine learning software for predicting electricity wholesale market in North America. And then after that, I started my own company focusing on energy storage systems.
So what's your company? Tell us about this.
So at WattLearn, we are developing cloud-based software powered by artificial intelligence so that we make grid-connected batteries smarter they can operate in an optimal way so that we generate maximum value out of these batteries while making sure that these batteries don't degrade unnecessarily. So maximizing both life and the value generated out of these grid-connected batteries.
That's heavy duty. I think John would agree.
Amen.
So at the end of the day, I mean, this is with energy conservation, energy efficiency. I mean, all the things that we really are focusing on this day and age. And there's artificial intelligence combined in with
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Wow.
So renewables are growing very fast. We know we need renewable energy.
Absolutely.
Right? But the problem with renewables is that they are intermittent. We cannot schedule when the wind should blow or when the sun should shine.
If I could do that, you know, I wouldn't have to buy lottery tickets. That's all I can say.
Exactly. So the problem is that raises the concerns of resiliency in our electricity grid. We want to make sure that lights are always on.
Exactly.
And because of that, we need batteries. Batteries are the most flexible resources that we have. They can act as a buffer between the demand and supply. You can store electricity when you don't need it, and you can use when there is peak demand. However, these batteries are very expensive. We are talking about large-scale batteries.
Okay. These aren't the ones you put in your flashlight.
No. They are expensive assets.
Exactly.
And the financials of these batteries don't pencil out. So what these batteries need to become is become smart, like act like smart humans. We need these batteries to...
That's where the artificial intelligence comes in, right?
That is why we add artificial intelligence to these batteries so that they become like smart decision makers. We give them some foresight using machine learning to know what is going to happen in every area that may be important for operation of these batteries. And then we give them the decision-making ability to make decisions based on that foresight.
That is impressive. How many folks are in your company right now?
We are very small. We just started. It is me and my co-founder, Matt Maroon, acting as a CEO.
Yeah.
And we have a strong technical advisory board of three people.
Very cool. So what's it been like getting this company off the ground? I mean, first off, you're somebody, you could do whatever you want to do, right? I mean, like you said, you could go into academia, you could go and work for a company. You're taking a route that's a little more tricky. And I think that's really interesting. I mean, it's not an easy thing getting a company off the ground. Why take this route?
It's definitely not easy, but I think everyone, especially every entrepreneur-minded international person coming all the way to U.S. would admit that we are not looking for easy. We want to make things happen. We want to change the world. I mean, I wanted to make sure that I'm having an impact that people can point at and say, okay, this is what you left behind. And I thought, I'm not saying academia is not the route for that, but I felt like I can create something new more than I'm an entrepreneur. So.
I love it. That's why we need like 100 more of you here, 1,000 more of you here in Pittsburgh. That's what I'm talking about. John, this is why Pittsburgh is popping.
Exactly. Exactly. We need more of it, and we need to do more things and have our focus on making Pittsburgh more attractive and differentiate from Silicon Valley, but yet be attractive or more attractive as an alternative.
Exactly. Exactly. So your experience growing a company here in Pittsburgh, I mean, not being from this country, I mean, I'm sure it's been difficult on other regions, not just finding money and finding resources, but just the fact that, like, this is not your hometown.
Yeah, it is.
So obviously you have a support system here. I know you have some friends. Hopefully your family comes to visit you from time to time. What's it been like being able to kind of acclimate and be here in Pittsburgh?
Definitely you rely on your support system a lot.
Right.
And the good thing about U.S. is that I think U.S. is one of the front runners in entrepreneurship world. Like, it is very easy, not very easy, but compared to other countries, even developed countries, it is easier to start something new and try some crazy ideas here.
Gotcha.
You have your support system here. Like, there are mentors, there are incubators, there are people like John that they are all like all over around, like, support you to make your dream come true. And I think I have taken advantage of them as well as other people have. So
excellent. What if you went back to your home country? Would this be possible, or be a lot harder?
Well, I don't have very first-hand experience of doing entrepreneurship stuff in Iran,
okay.
But from what I have heard,
yeah,
and what I know is that there are some challenges, including connections, for example, play even a more important role there compared to here.
I believe it.
And especially because of the recent economic sanctions against Iran, the investment, finding investment is not as easy as you would imagine right now, because the economy is under a lot of pressure right now in Iran.
Definitely.
And also international market. We are not very connected to international market at this moment, and those kind of things, limitations affect small businesses the most.
Interesting.
But it is possible. There are a lot of brilliant, great companies coming out of Iran.
Right. Well, I want them to come here and start those companies over here. Because like I keep saying, is there's brilliant minds around the world. Let's bring them here to the United States, much like Pittsburgh, grow these companies. Because we want no good minds going to waste as far as that goes. So what are your thoughts on what's going to be happening with your company over the next 6 months? Do you have any milestones that you're trying to hit?
Yeah, definitely. We are right now fundraising and also actively going after building a relationship with our first customers. So our goal is to close a seed round by the end of the year.
Okay.
And also start one or two contracts that we are right now in the process of negotiating with some customers so
Fantastic.
That we can...
So things are starting to bubble?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love it. If people want to learn more about the company, where can they go? What's your website?
Our website is www.watt-learn.com.
It's Watt, W-A-T-T hyphen
yes.
learn?
Yes.
Very, very good. I encourage everyone to go check that out. After that, go to BIPC.com and look up Buchanan Labs. I'm serious. John keeps laughing at me. I'm saying Buchanan is a resource that's out there. Like, I know people get freaked out with law firms. They're like, oh, it's a law firm. It's like, no, not. Call John up. He will talk to you. It's like you're my next door neighbor. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. It's just good people all the way around. So I'm so glad that we're partnering with you on this very important content. So good luck.
Thank you.
With what you're doing, and we're glad you're here in Pittsburgh doing what you do.
Me as well.
Simple
Thank you for
that.
Having me.
Good stuff, everybody. This is Jonathan Kersing with the Pittsburgh Technology Council and Tech Vibe Radio. Hey, you are listening to Tech Vibe Radio, and it's not just Tech Vibe Radio. It's our special podcast series with Buchanan Labs out of Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. And I'm hanging out with John Priebus here. John, you've been around Buchanan for quite a while. I like it because you bring perspective.
We do. We have a lot of experience with startup and development stage companies.
Definitely.
We think entrepreneurs are a lot like Christopher Columbus, who set off from Spain with an idea of where he wanted to go.
Right.
But not knowing if he was going to get there, when he was going to get there, or how.
I gotcha.
But we're happy to be part of the crew and set out on the journey along with the entrepreneurs.
Without a doubt. And part of that journey, we have Nesra Yanir. Did I pronounce your last name properly?
Yes, perfect.
I'm terrible with names. And you're with Norilla.
Yes.
And you are building a really cool company here in Pittsburgh. But you're not from Pittsburgh, are you?
No, I'm from Turkey.
I know. And we're glad you're from Turkey. And we're even more happy that you're here in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
So tell us about the company real fast.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So Norilla is a mixed reality platform that bridges the advantages of physical and virtual worlds to improve children's inquiry-based science learning.
I like it.
So it uses an AI-based technology that tracks what they're doing in the physical environment and gives them personalized interactive feedback as they do experiments and discoveries in the physical environment.
You said my two favorite letters, A and I, for artificial intelligence. Because that's where everything's going these days. It's empowering everything. And when you're empowering children to learn and to get into science and tech to make more out of AI, I think you got a cool snowball effect going on right here. There's a lot to be said about that. So this is all based on research you were doing at Carnegie Mellon University?
Yeah, exactly. So I started this when I first came to CMU to do my PhD. So I had an idea about bridging the physical and virtual worlds, because I was observing that there are a lot of technologies out there, but they're also making kids isolated from their physical environment. So
right.
I was trying to find a way to bring out the technology.
Those two, you bring it together, right? Because that's a very good point. There's so much tech that it almost isolates you.
Uh-huh.
It keeps you out from the real part of the world.
Yeah.
Where the interactions happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the rubber meets the road, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And also another problem is a lot of the education is based on memorization, especially when I was growing up in Turkey. That was one of the biggest problems. So children are really curious by nature, but then they lose their curiosity as they grow.
You've got to memorize everything.
Yeah.
This is no fun.
So I always wanted to find a way to make it help kids understand the reasons behind things rather than memorizing
things.
And when I came to the U.S., I realized it was even a bigger problem than I imagined, because there's statistics showing that 1/3 of children lose interest in science by fourth grade. And then
I lost in the 12th, and I'm kicking myself ever since. No, that's important to know, because the way things are moving, we got to keep the kids interested.
Yeah.
And show how cool it is, and you make it fun and engaging for kids to do stuff. I've seen some of the demos.
Oh, okay.
And it's great building with the blocks and when it's going to fall over and all that. I mean, it's ingenious. It's almost like so simple that it's smart.
Uh-huh,
that's the point. Like, you bring it back to that level.
That it's, easy to understand also,
Absolutely. So you went through the Alpha Lab program.
Yes, we did,
What was that like for you guys? Now, Alpha Lab's incubator / accelerator where you're in there for like 6 months or so. They put a little investment into the company, but they help you kind of get your product and your company ready for that next level. Tell me about the experience there.
It was 9 months. Alpha Lab Gear is 9 months, so they're focused on hardware and physical product companies. So it was a great experience for me after coming out of CMU. I had already started working with Project Olympus and Innovation Fellowship, so some business related things there. So I really wanted to learn how the business aspect of things and how do you get the research out into the real world.
Exactly.
So Alpha Lab Gear was great, and they were very much focused on getting customers immediately. So we were talking to 20 different potential customers every week. So it was really good trying to get out and not be shy and talk to people.
Exactly. Now they force you into the spotlight.
Exactly,
because I remember interviewing you after you gave your first pitch.
Yeah.
And I think there's about 500 people in the audience
So
they make you meet people very quickly.
And also they have good advice on manufacturing, how they actually manufacture physical products, which is challenging.
Absolutely. It's a whole other level of complexity when you're building a company and when you got the actual physical product that has to be in someone's hand.
Exactly. So it was a great resource for me. Yeah.
What would you say has been the biggest thing you've learned so far? Going from this idea, you were doing research on this, saying, I'm going to do a company.
Uh-huh.
And then you've kind of gone through some of the rounds where you've gone through the Alpha Lab. Big surprises?
I think every day you learn something. That's the good thing about startups. you learn things that are not actually in theory. Like you're trying to get it out into the practice. So there's something new challenges every day that you have to solve, and you learn to iterate. And even if there's an obstacle, you find your way around it. And So yeah, because there's obstacles every day, you have to figure out how to solve them. So I think problem solving and being persistent and patient is really important.
Definitely. So when you're solving those obstacles, it takes an ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm, Pittsburgh's mm-hmm. trying to grow its ecosystem. We're doing a pretty good job, but we're still like every place, we're learning, we fumble, and uh-huh. we're always looking to make it better. Like, any areas where you can see where we could be building more capacity in our ecosystem so they can help men and women like you that are building these companies?
I think like Pittsburgh has been great, and I think the community here is very helpful. Everybody's trying to help each other, so both from technical perspective and business perspective, like at CMU outside, there's a lot of resources. I was in Silicon Valley before I came here, so I always compare in my mind. So I think there's a lot of advantages to Pittsburgh that are not out there in Silicon Valley. But for example, there, whenever I go, there are so many events and so many like competition pitch events, and there's a lot of like networking events going on where you just
it's easier to connect there sometimes.
Especially with investors.
There's more density out there.
Yeah.
More stress, too. Every time I go out there, I get stressed out. I'm always like, I like visiting there, John, but I love coming back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Me too. I think there's a lot of things that are much more convenient here to get access to. And it's you don't have to drive long distances.
It's a plus, I'm just saying.
I think if there were more of those types of events and more investors around, that might be good. And I feel a big plus of CMU is that it's a lot of the projects here are research-based, so CMU has a lot of connections with the research communities.
Without a doubt.
So if we could find a way to take that advantage and make it more connected with the research community and the industry and investors, I think that would be great.
Good insight. I love it. If people want to learn more about Norilla, where can they go and check you guys out?
So our website is www.norilla.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they could just go there.
I encourage people to check it out. You'll be entertained and you will learn something. And you'll see this is a great company being built here. I love it, man.
Thank you so much.
After that, go to BIPC.com and check out the Buchanan Labs over there. Learn more about guys like John. They have a whole staff of people over there, lawyers. They're looking to help you out. They really are. Don't be afraid to knock on their door and say, "Hey, I have a company. I have a problem. Can you help me?" They're not gonna. They're there to help.
The door is always open.
The door is always open, John.
Get in touch with us. We'll be glad to give you a hand.
Good stuff. Once again, thanks for being partners with us on making this type of content happen, because we're trying to get the word out there. There's great stuff happening here in Pittsburgh. We have our challenges as well too, but we got smart women like Nestor here making things happen. So anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirstein with the Pittsburgh Technology Council and Tech Vibe Radio. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA, and we are hanging out with the Buchanan Labs, part of an ongoing series we have, really examining some of the tech trends happening in the Pittsburgh region. And to remind everybody that this is not just a radio segment, it also has additional content, bonus content, that you can get if you go over to iTunes, go to the podcast section, just search Tech Vibe, and you're going to see some really great conversations around robotics, artificial intelligence, and what we're talking about today, which is issues faced by foreign national entrepreneurs. One thing that Audrey and I, our usual co-hosts of the show, we always talk about is we need people from around the world to be here in Pittsburgh. The more people, the more minds, the better. We want big open arms welcoming them here and helping them grow companies and just innovate and just be the great people that they are. And so I'm so excited today to kind of talk about this and to have Buchanan Labs make this happen, which is part of Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney. And we're actually here at Ascender in the East End recording this segment. I like being out of the studio sometimes, bringing the studio to where the action's happening. So I've got to thank Ascender for letting us kind of hang out here. And so we're going to start off with John Prevost from Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney. John, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good evening, everyone. I'm John Prevost. Here's a representative of Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney. I've been with the firm since 1981, but despite all those years, we like to work with startup and development stage companies. It's energizing. You feel really a part of the team, and that's why we support the entrepreneurial community in Pittsburgh.
And you've really seen the changes. I mean, since 1981, Pittsburgh's a way different place. Even over the past 5 years, Pittsburgh is a much better place, much different place. And so what are your thoughts on having people from around the world come to Pittsburgh and start companies?
I certainly think we need more of it. Our history has been with immigrants from other countries coming here
exactly.
to build the industries
Good
that
point.
Now have passed by, and now it would be the second or third wave of people from outside the U.S. coming and making meaningful contributions that have benefit all of us.
And the impact of that, I think, is just amazing. I mean, if you look at Silicon Valley, there's some crazy numbers out there. The number of companies and the employment created by people that came from other countries to come to our country to start a company, I think, is pretty amazing. And we, like I said, we want more of that here in Pittsburgh. And it's real fast. I mean, Buchanan Ingersoll, you guys are around to help these companies. I think it's really important to know that you're not just a law firm. You're like a connector as well, too.
Well, we like to think of ourselves as business coaches. We've been down the road. We've had the experience. And if we can help the entrepreneurs avoid a lot of the pitfalls that they'd otherwise encounter by helping steer them around them or plan for them in advance, that just makes the path to success that much faster.
Absolutely. So let's change gears a little bit. I have some great guests here, very excited, because these are the folks that are kind of making Pittsburgh happen, and they happen to be from another country. And I just have so many questions. I mean, you probably have some questions too, Johnson. Please, you can chime in at any point in time. But let's make some quick introductions. Let's start with you, Nesra. Who is Nesra? Tell us about your company, Norilla. What's going on?
Hi, I'm Nesra Anya, and I'm founder and CEO of Norilla. So we're a company, a spin-off from Carnegie Mellon University, and it's based on my PhD research with my advisors Ken Kadinger and Scott Hudson. So we're developing a new mixed reality learning system to improve children's inquiry-based STEAM learning to make it more enjoyable and collaborative.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from Turkey.
From Turkey?
Yeah.
Excellent. And what brought you to Pittsburgh?
So I came to Pittsburgh now 6 years ago to start my PhD program at Carnegie Mellon University.
Yeah. That's why I like Carnegie Mellon so much. That's why it's great having Pitt here, because they're these magnets for bringing super smart people from around the world right here to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
we need to have them stick around longer, though, like what you're doing. So Matina, tell us about yourself. What are you up to these days?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Matina Apush. I am co-founder and CTO of WhatLearn. At WhatLearn, we are offering a software platform for smart operation of grid-connected batteries.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We add artificial intelligence to batteries so that they can operate based on optimal strategies to generate more value and while degrading slower.
Absolutely. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Iran.
Iran. Okay. Yeah. And what brought you to Pittsburgh?
I came to Pittsburgh in 2011 to Carnegie Mellon University.
Awesome.
I did my master's and PhD there.
I'm sensing a trend here, John. I'm sensing a trend. This is why I think Pittsburgh is positioned so well sometimes, because of things like Carnegie Mellon, those types of resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go any place in the world you want to study and to do what you want to do, but you chose Pittsburgh because of Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
And so what has kept you here then? You could go anywhere you want. Matina, what do you think?
So Pittsburgh has a special place in my heart. It's the first place that I entered when I came to U.S.
Okay.
It's a very nice place to live in. It's a small city, but it has the good aspects of big, larger city. Carnegie Mellon, of course, has given me a lot. And it is easy to live here. There's a lot of potential, a lot of a meetup place for very talented and from across the world, talented and good people. So I just love it. It's like a home for me.
I like hearing that. So what's your favorite thing about Pittsburgh?
It's very similar for me. I think it's a very convenient place to live. I used to be in California before I came here. So
right.
I thought like Pittsburgh has a great community. They're very supportive of each other. Everybody's trying to help the other person, especially in entrepreneurship, robotics. There's a lot of different resources, technology, and it's much easier to connect with people and turn your ideas into reality.
I got you. So why start a company here then? I mean, you like it, and it seems like a good place then to be like, well, I got this research I've been doing, and can make a pretty cool company. And so tell me about that.
So I graduated my PhD, I finished my PhD last summer, so at that point I was thinking about should I stay here, or I also got an offer from New York City, so I was trying to decide.
Take that, New York.
And then
we have Nesra, you don't.
I weighed the ups and downs a lot, and then there were a lot of things that attracted me to Pittsburgh, and I got a fellowship from Carnegie Mellon to continue my PhD research and take it into a company, and also We got an NSF grant here with my advisors at Carnegie Mellon. So, and also the EdTech community, I thought in educational technologies, there's a lot of great resources. So I had already started working with a lot of like school districts, museums here. And I thought they're really innovative and open to new ideas. So I thought it would be a great place to start something.
Interesting. So, so Matina, on your angle here for staying in the good old Berg, so glad that you're here doing what you're doing. Why Pittsburgh for you?
So, of course, I started my PhD here, and I was always battling between the ideas of working in the industry or staying in academia, especially since I started my PhD. I had some familiarity with academic work, but I didn't know much about, like, industry and entrepreneurship world, in, especially in U.S., until I started working in a tech company here in Pittsburgh while I was finishing up my PhD. That was around
that time. I love that. So you're working at a tech company while finishing up your PhD. That's awesome.
That was around the time that I realized, wow, that is what I want to do. I want to be an entrepreneur, and I want to basically change the world. So, and based on my experience in that company and my PhD education, that's how I decided that it's better to do this.
Very cool. I think you made a wise decision.
Thank you.
Very much so. So as you've been in the ecosystem here building the companies, what can we do more of here in Pittsburgh to make it more amenable, to make it easier, to make it more friendly as far as it is? Because, I mean, you have a whole other set of challenges. I mean, there's cultural stuff, language stuff. I cannot imagine going to another country and starting a company. I'm too much of a wuss for that. You guys are strong.
Well, there are things that Pittsburgh can do, and there are things that generally, like in U.S., we can do all together as a community. In Pittsburgh, I think bigger companies, for example, can start investing more in Pittsburgh. We have seen like large companies like Google have already started this trend, but we need more of those. The more those kind of technologies and companies are in Pittsburgh, the more students are, the more it's going to be attractive for talent coming out of these good universities, Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh, to stay in Pittsburgh and giving back to the Pittsburgh community. And also in terms of investments, I think investors here in Pittsburgh need to be a little bit more risk takers with companies that are great companies that are coming out of these universities.
I hear that a lot. People can, they're a little risk averse.
Yeah, exactly. They're more like, so we need a little bit more like Silicon Valley kind of attitude with our investors here.
I like it. Very good insight. So Nesra, if you went back to Turkey to do this, what would it be like? Would it be possible to do what you're doing in Turkey?
Yeah. So, I mean, it is possible. I actually went back. I did my master's here at Stanford, and then I went to Turkey to work for a startup, so I know a little bit of the startup community
interesting.
There.
Yeah, what's it like there? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I think it is starting. They're starting to have a community, and but I think there are a lot more resources and opportunities here in the U.S., and also I feel it's harder to find people with your mindset to, and that people are more risk-averse. They, instead of starting something new, usually they tend to find something that already works in the U.S. and try to bring that to Turkey, and it's much harder to start something new and creative. It's not impossible, but as I said, there's there are more obstacles. So I thought it here with with Carnegie Mellon and with all the opportunities, the funding sources here and the support, I thought it would be much easier here. But I think there's always the opportunity to take things to Turkey later on. Like I feel I worked with some underserved kids in Turkey, and I think there's a big gap there as well. So if we do have something that works here, it would be great to also get into
it. I love it. So we got about a minute left. So John, what are your thoughts on I mean, we're hearing some really cool stuff here. How does Buchanan now interact with firms like this, so when they're in need of services, they're able to interact and be plugged into the right network?
Well, when an entrepreneur engages a law firm, engages more than just lawyers.
Exactly.
Lawyers have been in deals, they've been in transactions, they know a lot of people, not only in Pittsburgh, but outside of Pittsburgh, to whom they can refer where there might be more risk tolerance, and the angel networks and all those kinds of groups that are out there that a foreign national wouldn't be aware of. again, we can be like their Sacagawea to Lewis and Clark.
Exactly.
Guiding them along the way to the Northwest Passage.
That's awesome, man. It's a very good analogy all the way around. So glad you could spend time with us. And remind everyone, we're going to actually do a lot. We have a lot more content you can learn about these companies and this issue. If you just go to iTunes, go into the podcast tab, and just search for Tech Vibe, you'll see the Buchanan Lab series that we're doing here. So great to have Buchanan as a partner making this show happen. You know, Buchanan's been hanging out with the Tech Council for 35 years now. That's all I can say. There's a lot of good history going on there. And just to remind everybody, you are listening to Tech Vibe Radio. So glad you could tune in for this show tonight. And I hope you have an awesome weekend. Learn more about the PTC by going to pghtech.org. And if you go to Buchanan Ingersoll & Rooney, BIPC.com, you can learn all about their services there as well, too. And I hope you have a great weekend, everybody.